I want to ask you to turn with me in your Bible, please, into Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57, a few weeks back, I preached for a while on the subject of humility. And I want to pick it back up at this time. Of course, I didn't preach it this past Sunday. We went to the book of Numbers, chapter 16, and preached on the man who stood between the dead and the living. And we preached that in the morning and the evening meeting. But I did feel like that maybe at some point we would need to come back to this particular message. Because I believe that we need to remind people, I need to be reminded, we all do, that God resisteth the proud. And He gives grace to the humble. And I don't believe that God will dwell with us. And He tells us that in Isaiah 57 and 15, that He will not dwell with us unless we have a broken spirit and a contrite heart. And He does dwell with they who are humble. And I want to be a humble man. God hates pride. The Bible flatly states it that way. God hates a proud look. And you can rest assured He hates a proud, the proud atmosphere that we create at times. Any times we show independence from God, that's pride. When we fail to pray, there's a root of pride there. It's saying, I don't need the Lord, I can handle it on my own. And I believe that prayer itself shows humility and our dependence upon God. And I believe that if we're going to have an intimacy with God, we're going to have to humble ourselves. And I've called this message the difficult downward path that leads to humility. And it is difficult because it's humiliating. It's self-humiliating. Anytime that we begin to take inventory of ourselves, stock of ourselves, examine ourselves, we're going to see plenty that if we're not careful, it may cause us to plunge down into the pit of despair. And I don't believe that God is wanting that. But I do believe that He wants us to get a right view of ourselves and a right view of Him. And these are the two things that will humble us and will keep us humble. If we'll keep our eyes on the Lord as well as on ourselves, I think that watching the Lord and knowing His care and His love for us will keep us from plunging into that pit of despair. But by watching Him and our own self, it will knock all the wind out of us as we see the greatness of God and see the nothingness of ourselves. And so we need a right view, heavenward and inward, outward and inward as well, upward and inward, maybe I should say. In Isaiah 57, we see the doctrine, as I've already pointed out, the doctrine of the transcendence of God and the immanence of God. Transcendence meaning that God is higher than man, and He will always be different from man. This is what the theologians call the otherness of God. This is a plane and a level we'll never reach. We will not be gods. Some denominations teach that we can actually become gods in our day, but that's an old doctrine. As a matter of fact, you can trace it all the way back to the Garden of Eden. We pointed that out, where Satan said to Eve, "Ye shall be as gods," and that'll never be the case. We'll never reach that high, and those of us who love the Lord, we're not interested in taking His throne. We are interested in bowing to His rule and Him governing us and Him being God and operating the universe according to His own will. But we do believe that our God transcends His creation. He is much bigger and broader and beyond. He is beyond time. He condescended and came into time, and we see the Lord Jesus living accordingly, according to time, days and nights. He put Himself on the level of humanity when in His condescension. But that does not mean that He ceased to be God in any way. It just means He became a man. But he continued to be God, and that divinity came out on many occasions while he submitted himself to earth's natural environment and the like. When he pleased to do so, he walked on water. He could go out into the water and bathe himself, but he could also walk on the water. There we see many things. I don't need to get into that. But our Lord is the transcendent God. But we also see the other side to that in this one verse, and that is the immanence of God, that he does indeed condescend in order to be intimate together with his people and for us to enjoy his fellowship and he ours. And I'm glad that he's that kind of God. The Bible teaches both the transcendence of God and the immanence of God. And let me say this, I don't think I said it last time, and we need to remember this. There is a dangerous demonic doctrine that's being taught today that says God has actually came in among creation, and you should be careful what you do with animals and with even a blade of grass or a flower, because all of these have the contents of God, that God is in that. That's called pantheism, and we reject pantheism. We believe that the marks of the Creator can be seen in everything that God created. His fingerprints are there, and His wonders are there. But I don't bow down to a blade of grass, and I don't bow down to a flower and say, I'm not going to cut this or I'm not going to kill that, because that would be striking at God. That's not the case. God came down in the form of a man, and we were made in His image. And in the fall, we, of course, that image was marred in us. But this is one reason that God said, thou shalt not kill, or thou shalt not murder. You're striking at the image of God, though it be marred in fallen man, but still you strike at the image of God. So a lot of things here, but let's read the verse. And I wanted to say, I wanted to remind you of the transcendence and immanence of God before we read the verse, so you can see it in the verse. Look at it. Verse 15 of Isaiah 57. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Now there's the transcendence of God, whose name is holy. And then we see the immanence of God. I dwell in the high and holy place, but with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. Now, I said that if we are going to be a humble people, the path that leads down to the place of humility is only traveled as we keep our eyes upon God and we seek to know God in His transcendence, in the greatness of our God, the wonder of our God. If we ever see Him in His transcendence, the fact that His name is holy, His otherness, and then we see ourselves. This is enough to break us down and humble us and bring us to the point to where we would say, God, I don't deserve anything from you. You have been good to me abundantly and above anything that I deserve. I deserve your judgment and your wrath, but just to think that the transcendent God would be willing to humble himself and to join together with me in communion and in fellowship. Now this is a fact that ought to, if we give it the proper biblical thought, it will blow our mind. It'll blow us away. To see God as He is, that is the best that we can see Him. And that, of course, by revelation that is brought to us by the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. But to see the Lord as this, and then see ourselves, see God in His greatness, and see ourselves as nothing more than ants and grasshoppers and the like in this world. And to think that God would love us like He does and would want to meet with us like He does. He's not the one who is being honored. We are the one who are being honored by the presence of God. What an honor it is. Just to think, listen, what an honor it is to go into the presence of God on our knees in prayer, on our face before God. We see characters in the Scriptures who approach God just that way. The Apostle Paul said, I bow my knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, he's bowing to the Lordship of Christ. And when we pray and we get down on our knees before the Lord, we are bowing to His omnipotence, His sovereignty, His free will, His majesty, everything that is high and holy of our great God. And as we do that and then become engaged in prayer and begin to sense in a special way, and this is not always the way it is, of course, as we pray. Sometimes I feel the presence of God. Sometimes it's a little bit more. And sometimes it's a great bit more. And so sometimes, you know, you're down on your knees, and the next thing you know, you're prostrate. You're down on your face because you know that you are in the presence of the greatest dignity in all the universe, God Himself. And it's a humbling experience. And I praise the Lord for those times. I never feel more content and more satisfied than when God is drawing near. I'm drawing near. He said, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. And so, but we've got to go down this path. And in order to do that, in order to get close to God, and we do that again by examining the Scriptures, what the Bible has to say about God. I believe the more acquainted we become with the Word of God, the more humble it will make us, and the more intimacy we can have in communion with our Lord. And so it's vital that we stay in the Word of God and stay on our knees. That's two things that is an absolute must for the Christian. That I believe that staying in the Scriptures and staying on our knees before God, I think that this describes, in a nutshell, the Christian experience. And I believe that if we're not in the Word of God, and we are not on our knees before the Lord, if we don't have a prayer life, and we don't have study habits and desires for the Word of God, how could we possibly, really, honestly, and with full assurance, call ourselves Christian? Because a Christian is an individual who knows, I can't make it without God. I've got to have Him. And if I've really got to have Him, then I have learned that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And God has been kind and merciful enough to us to write that word down, to have it put in print for us. And then God blessed us. There was a time when all the saints of God didn't have a copy of the Word of God. And scribes, of course, had to write the Word of God down. And that was a very slow process by they who wanted to do it right and was very careful about it. And you ought to study sometime. I don't have time to go into it, but study sometimes about the scribes and how they copied the Scriptures and the care, how careful they were to make certain that they got every bit of it right. Wasn't it a blessed day, praise the Lord, when that printing press came on the scene? And you know, when the printing press came on the scene, that was for the purpose of printing the Word of God, so that the Word of God could be printed and gotten out more. And now the saints of God have many copies of the Holy Scriptures. And we wear a Bible out and we don't think nothing about buying another Bible. They're always available to us. The number one book on the market is the blessed Word of God. And so I'm grateful for God's Word, but it's not enough to carry it around under our arm or in our hand. I tell you, we've got to get in it and to stay on our knees before God. And I believe the more we stay in this book, the more it'll put us on our knees before God. We're talking about the difficult downward path that leads to humility. Now let's look at this here for just a moment. I gave you two thoughts, and I've really covered a good bit of it even here in the introduction this evening, but I said if we are going to reach that place where we can touch the Lord and He will touch us, then it's going to be as we meditate, as we give our mind to God, to the things of God. And I want to just remind you again, I know I've already said it, and a lot of this may sound like I'm just repeating a lot, and maybe I am repeating a lot, but I want to keep hitting that nail, drive it in as far as I possibly can. But there are so many things that are distracting us today. And that's a trick of the devil. And you can find yourself caught up in with your mind just being bombarded by so many things that really is not that important. And really doesn't make that much difference. And really is not going to matter 24 hours from now or a week from now. And certainly not 100 years from now. And that's the reason we need to give our minds, first of all, to careful thoughts upon the excellence and the majesty of our God. And then second, we must meditate upon our own infinite, inconceivable distance from God. I don't care how close I am to God, there's still a big gap. And I got to continue to press forward. This is something that I've got to do it every... Is there any wonder why our Lord Jesus said, you're going to be my disciple? All right, there's three things you're going to have to do. First of all, you're going to have to deny yourself. And that's a big job right there, because no man ever yet hated his own flesh. And friend, it's a hard thing to deny yourself, because we have lived, we came into this world and our self and our mind and that baby's mind is, myself is number one. I want to be fed, I want to be cuddled, I want to be taken care of, and I'll scream and holler till somebody does it. And I want my way. It's not an easy matter to deny yourself, but this is the Christian experience. This is what Jesus calls on to do, that we will be His disciple. And what is a disciple but a learner and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? We are following Him. We are listening to His teaching as He speaks to us in the Word of God through the preaching of the Word, the teaching of the Word, the study of the Word, the reading of the Word. We're listening for God to give us a personal Word from Himself. And we're learning, we're growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, first of all, He said, you got to deny yourself. And then second, take up your cross daily. Who wants a cross? We don't want a cross. The flesh don't want a cross. What does the flesh want? The flesh wants a crown. A crown. The flesh wants to be comfortable and to enjoy and to laugh. That's the attitude of the flesh. I wrestled for years with the thought, as a Christian, I thought, why is it that when I go to bed at night, I have such wicked dreams? You ever wondered that? And you think, well, I've been saved. It looks like all that would stop. Why is it that I can have a good day with the Lord. I can enjoy the Lord. And maybe on a Lord's day, I've heard the Word of God. I've rejoiced. I've worshiped God. Go home, go to bed at night, and have the wickedest dreams. Do you know why that is? I was reading Mark chapter 7, and I found why that is, I believe. It's because of all the evil that is still in us. The flesh. All of that sin. Jesus said, you don't have to feed yourself in order to be a sinner. He said, it's not what goes in. He said, it's what comes out. It's all that evil, 13 evils that Jesus declares on the inside of believers too. Everybody. And that's the reason that every day we are taught in the Scriptures that we have got to mortify the deeds of the flesh. That is, we got to put it to death. This is in the flesh. And that's why I believe, and maybe somebody can help me out, somebody might can straighten me out on it, but I really think that's why we have such wicked dreams. Because we've still got the old man present. And that stuff is still in there. And that's the reason the devil keeps throwing things in front of us and the world. It is to stir this stuff up that is still in there. To get us to sin against God. And so the flesh likes the easy way. All of us are that way. We like for our road in front of us to be paved and to be straight and not so hilly and not so bumpy. But Jesus said, take up your, not your crown, but take up your cross daily. Only then are we like the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think for one moment that Jesus had a paved way in front of Him while He was here? Do you think that everything went wonderful for the Lord Jesus? Everybody loved Him. And everything He never had any battles. Now we know better, don't we? We've read the Word of God. And we know the kind of life that He had. It was constant battles. How would you like it if somebody said that your mother was a fornicator? How would you like it if you were called a bastard child? She don't even know who the daddy of that baby is. Now that's exactly what those religious people said to Jesus when they said, "We be not born of fornication." In other words, like you were. And that's in John chapter 8. And do you think that steamed the Lord Jesus? You better believe it did. You could say just about anything you want to about me, but not my mother. Amen? Not my mother. And not my dad. You say about anything you want to about me, but not my wife, not my sister, my children, and my brother. I tell you, Jesus looked at that crowd just a few verses later in John 8:44. He said, "You call my mother a fornicator? And you call me a bastard son?" He said, "Your father is the devil. Your father is the devil, and the lust of your father you will do." In other words, you're just like him. You're the spitting image of him. And so Jesus didn't take that light. What does God tell us to do? He says, Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, You can't take the easy road. It is a difficult downward path that leads to humility. Because remember, only they who are as little children can enter into the kingdom of God and see the kingdom of God. He said, that's the way it's got to be. And so number one, deny yourself. Number two, take up your cross and follow me. And number three, take up your cross. Number three, follow me. Follow me. And so, we are to follow Him. And I don't get up in the morning and say, now Lord, please, let's take the high road today. I don't say, Lord, let's go the easy route today. If I did say it, you think for 1 minute he going to say, "All right, Tommy, not my will, but your will be done"? That's not the way it works. Now, wherever he leads, he may lead me down the most difficult path. I may not have been expecting it. I may get up one morning just like Job did, who had everything that a man could want. And all of his children, his family, in his wealth and everything. I could get up one morning just like Job, and that morning could be a bright, beautiful, sunshiny day, and walk out onto my porch, take a deep breath of country air, and say, "My, it's wonderful to be alive." But before the day is over, in 1 hour's time, just 1 hour out of 24, I could lose everything I've got and say, "Boy, I wish my mama had had a miscarriage when it was time for me to be born." That's the way he prayed. That's what he said. I'll tell you, we don't ever know what a day is going to bring forth before the sun goes down. But I'll tell you one thing we do know. We know if we're walking with God, we can make it. And we're going to make it as long as we are walking with God. Do you know why we're going to make it? Because of Jesus Christ, and that's it. That's all. It's not because of me. It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Thou wilt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." That's the word of a man in Psalm 73 that was broken. He was disturbed. He looked around. He saw everybody prospering here. All of the wicked people, everything was going great for them. He was disturbed about it. He was complaining against God, fighting against. He was just broken until he went into the sanctuary. Psalm 73:17. He said, "I was that way till I went into the sanctuary." And he said, "I started seeing things a lot different." He said, "I saw the end. I saw the end of this thing. I saw the end of the wicked and where they are finally going to wind up." And then that's when he said, in just a few verses later, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." We've got to take the same steps that Asaph took that day and come to that place. You'll have to forgive me for continuing to bring that verse up, but that's what happens when God gives you something from the Word. It stays with you, brother and sister. And God knew how greatly I needed that. Brother Mark, I've feasted on that one verse daily, day and night. It has stayed with me. And I've asked, therefore, a short time it started fading from me, and it broke my heart, and I begged God, "Lord, please don't let that verse leave me. I want to keep it with me as long as you'll let me, and get all the milk out of it I can possibly get, because it has been nourishing my soul. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel." Counsel me, Lord, counsel me. Talk to me. That's what I cried out to him today. Talk to me, Lord. Over and over and over, that's what I cried out to God. Talk to me, Lord. I need to hear from you. I can't make it without you. I can't survive without you. I need instruction from the Lord. Oh, He's a great God. Seeing God and seeing ourselves, that's a difficult downward path to humility. Whoever get fixed and focused upon the greatness of God and the nothingness of ourselves, I tell you, we'll be in a whole lot better shape. Amen. We'll finally be, maybe it ain't too late for me to be used by the Lord. I hope it's not. I hope that at some point in my preaching, The power of God will finally come on me and come on the message that I'm trying to preach. I don't think I've ever got there, but I hope before I'm done, before God is through with my life on this earth, I hope at some point the power of God will finally come. I'd like to feel like that God has used me. I would like to feel like that I have actually fed somebody the Word of God. That I have fed the sheep and fed the lambs. I'm constantly pleading with God to help me to do that. But I don't know if I've ever really seen any sheep come to the trough and really get something and go away from there. I believe the Lord does things that we're not aware of. But I sure would like to see the glory fall one time. One time. I think I could live on it. I asked the Lord today, let me see something. If you would, I'm so sorry that my faith is so weak that I would have to ask God, let me see something. But sometimes I guess I kind of get out of control in my prayers. And maybe I'm not so spiritual with my prayers, but I get a bit desperate along the way to just see something. And I told the Lord if I could just see something or if I could hear something today, maybe that would carry me for a while. Maybe it'll carry me all the way to the end. I have to be honest with you. Sometimes it gets hard to walk by faith. And I want to because my Lord calls on me to do it. But how in the world could I criticize Simon Peter for sinking when I do it every day? Matter of fact, I'm not so sure that I've ever even one time walked on the water. I don't think I ever have. And there's no need in me kidding myself. There's no need for me to go into the presence of God and try to deceive Him. He knows. He knows I hadn't walked on the water. He knows that I don't believe that I've ever witnessed really the glory of God. I mean, I'm at the point where Moses, he was asking to see the glory of the Lord, and God told him, I'll show you my hind parts, and I'm at the point where if I could just see the tail end of those hind parts, I'd be happy. Those more, maybe those less majestic part, if there is any such thing of God, there must be something along that lines. Certainly I can't look into His face, I know that. But if I could just see something, I think it'd carry me. You know, here I am talking to you what I've been pleading with God for. But maybe if I will get to where I need to be, would you pray for me that God will help me with this? Pray for me that I will myself be willing to humble myself as I should. I certainly don't want to throw the towel in. Sometimes I think I pick it up. Sometimes I think I pick the towel up and I draw back. But I hope I don't ever throw it in. I almost did one time in particular. It's been a number of times, but one in particular I got very close. Matter of fact, I looked up to heaven and I told God out loud to my shame, God, you can have it, I'm done. It was a very painful thing that was taking place at the time. But before the day was out, God broke me. And I need prayer. And I need the Lord to help me. I want to be where I can honor the Lord, commune with Him, fellowship with Him, worship Him, and even be at a place to where, and I think, until I'm at the point where I can truly walk by faith without being caught up by the distractions and everything that's taking place in the world, around me, and in particular, what's going on the inside of me. Maybe the Lord let me see the glory fall one time before I leave this world. I hope that'll be the case. Well, let's stop right there.